Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.
KFI AM 640. You're listening to the John Cobell Podcast on the iHeartRadio app. Welcome. We have so much that we've got to get into. As I was saying right before Deborah's news, 2:30, Nathan Hochman is going to come on. He's the former federal prosecutor and assistant U.S. attorney general, among other things. And there's a new poll out where Gascon gets only 18% of the vote. And everybody else who's decided is voting against Gascon, and Nathan Hochman does the best. So there's no chance Gascon's going to win that primary outright. And in fact, they matched up Hochman against Gascon in the general election, and it was 56-18. Hochman over Gascon, 56-18. Gascon gets no extra support after the primary from anybody, any of the other nine candidates. We'll talk with Nathan Hochman coming up after 2:30. Another story that's been breaking is that in Europe, four Hamas members suspected of plotting terror attacks in Europe have been arrested by German and Dutch authorities. Three in Germany, one in the Netherlands. It was going to be attacks on Jewish institutions. More details on that, but that is one of the arguments that the Republicans are using in Washington to force the Biden administration to change the border security situation along the southern border with Mexico. Among other things, nobody knows who's coming into the country, and there's millions that have come into the country, and the Republicans are holding up aid to Ukraine and Israel to finance their wars. They won't spend a dollar until the Democrats agree to do something significant on border policy. We're going to talk now with Liz Landers, ABC News in Washington, to tell us the latest on the negotiations. Liz.
Hey, guys. That's right. So we heard some updates just within the last few minutes from Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, who went to the floor and said that he's actually going to have the Senate come back next week, which was not expected. These guys love to get out of town for the holidays, go back to their respective states, districts, et cetera. He said that the Senate is making progress on these discussions, specifically on the border talks and that aspect of this larger supplemental funding package that will have money for Ukraine, Israel, Taiwan, and then also the U.S. southern border. So Schumer says that's going well enough that he wants to bring senators back next week. He says that they should expect to take a vote on some kind of supplemental package. What that package looks like right now, nobody is saying. The White House is tight-lipped on this. They're letting the Senate take the lead. in these negotiations. We know that Chris Murphy, who is a Democrat from Connecticut, he's been kind of leading the Dems in this charge. He said yesterday that it's really helpful to have both the White House and the Department of Homeland Security in the room with them. So the Biden administration has been sending some of their top White House and then DHS officials. The Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas has been going up there to talk with these senators about how they can potentially change laws around immigration policy in the United States. And this is such a entrenched issue in American politics. And to really overhaul the immigration system here, Congress has to pass a pretty comprehensive, large package. That's probably not what they're going to do right now. They would focus on more specific policies. Right now, we've heard discussions of asylum policies being potentially changed. There have also been discussions of just sending more money in general down to the southern border so that CBP and other agencies have more resources. But that's sort of the state of play right now in Washington. They will be back next week to work on this.
Is there any sense of urgency that, regardless of the specifics of the negotiations, Ukraine, Israel, that the border itself, something has to be done? Because there's a lot of crazy people who are traveling all over the world, potentially setting up terrorism situations. I mean, things could start exploding here like they were planning in Europe. And I think the FBI director the other day, Christopher Wray, says he sees blinking lights all over the place, and all since October 7th, the attack in Israel. So aren't they on edge? Aren't they scared a little bit that at any minute something could happen?
Absolutely. I mean, you've heard that for a number of weeks now, and you're right. Those testimonials from the FBI director, from the Homeland Security Secretary, who has said similar things, I think have kind of put the fear of God into some of these lawmakers who look at that and think, okay, well, maybe we do need to do something about the southern border because it is all interconnected at this point. I think Republican Minority Leader Mitch McConnell has made the point that U.S. national security is tied to success for Israel and Ukraine fighting in these respective wars, kind of like you mentioned there. So I think that Republicans have been emphasizing the urgency here. We've now heard Democratic Majority Leader Chuck Schumer say, if my Republican colleagues think that the border crisis is urgent, then they should want to stay in town and work on this through the next week. So he's kind of using that as a little political bargaining chit, if you will. So yes, I think that there is some sense of urgency for them to get something done, which is why the Senate is going to stay in session. Though I would add that the House has recessed now for the holidays. They took their last vote earlier this morning on the National Defense Authorization Act. It was an $800 billion piece of legislation that probably few people will talk about, even though it is an enormous sum of money that has been designated to our national security and our defense systems. And then they got out of town. So if the Senate was able to get something together next week, the House would have to be called back into session. Speaker Mike Johnson could absolutely do that, but they might have some trouble wrangling 400 plus members to get back to D.C. in time.
This is like no way to run a country, boy. Well, Liz, thanks very much. Thanks for all the reports.
Of course. Thanks, guys.
Liz Landers, ABC News. I'm really flabbergasted. You know, you read about, and I'll refer to this story again here. This is the CNN version. Four alleged Hamas members suspected of plotting terror attacks have been arrested by German and Dutch authorities. Three people arrested in Germany, one in the Netherlands. They're planning attacks on Jewish institutions. Hamas is recognized by everyone as a major terrorist organization. Two were Lebanese nationals. One was an Egyptian. And the prosecutor, it's a German prosecutor, mentioned the first names of the individuals arrested, but they have privacy laws in Germany, so he's not reporting the last names. Can you believe this? Terrorists have privacy protections in Germany, so we can't know who they are. How nuts is that? Now, if they found four people in Germany and the Netherlands, Hamas must have sent these terrorist cells all over the world, certainly here. I mean, we're the main financier of the Israeli response. We've had 3 million people come over the border. We don't know who any of these people are. 3 million. There's got to be terrorists there. And the FBI director says, yeah, all blinking lights everywhere. And the House is on vacation. And the Senate has been negotiating for days and days and days and days. It's like, just do it. Just close the border for a while. Really, we're not going to lose anything. Nothing bad's going to happen if we shut down the border. And they could do it if they want to. Good Lord, what a stupid country. And let me guess, you know, we're going to have some terrible explosion. A couple of hundred people are going to die. And then everybody's going to be singing Amazing Grace and holding candlelight vigils and praying. It's like, no, skip all that. Do your job now. Seal the border. And start deporting the people who came here illegally. I mean, there are certain countries right now where we should be taking nobody in. Nobody. All right, we come back. Gavin Newsom was interviewed on Fox 11 by Alex Michelson about the massive budget deficit and also about him canceling the tree lighting ceremony because of he was fearing protests against the Israeli war. So everybody loses Christmas in Sacramento. There was no tree lighting ceremony. Instead of securing the area, he just pulled the plug. So we'll listen to those clips after 2:30. Nathan Hochman, who did well in a poll about the race against Gascon to replace him as DA. A lot of stuff coming up on the John Cobalt Show.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
After 2:30, like I said, we're going to talk to Nathan Hochman, who did well in this poll of almost 2,000 likely voters in L.A. County. Who do you want to be the next L.A. County D.A.? 18% said George Gascon, 12% said Hochman. But there are 9 candidates running against Gascon. So Gascon only has 18%. So he's there'd have to be a runoff in November. And in the runoff, if you assume Hochman would get at least the number 2 position, Hochman would win 56-18 over Gascon. Now, I assume a number of other challengers would win as well if they can get into the top 2. But at the moment, it's the Remington Research Group. It's their poll. And we'll talk to Nathan Hochman coming up at 2:30. If you remember a few days ago, our weasel governor, Hair Gel, he pulled the plug on the Christmas tree lighting in Sacramento because it was easier to do that than to secure the area. He was afraid of protests from Hamas supporters. I guess there's a significant number of people in favor of the Jewish genocide, and they cheer for Hamas, and he didn't want that at the Christmas tree lighting. So nobody got to celebrate Christmas that day in Sacramento. Because that's a good show of strength, isn't it? That's what you want in a leader, who backs down immediately, folds up, and goes home. And lets the protesters have their way. So we got a couple of clips of Newsom. We'll play clip number 1 about the, well, actually, this is clip number 2 about the Christmas tree with Alex Michelson, Fox.
There also was a pretty unfortunate situation. You're supposed to light the Capitol Christmas tree,
yeah,
and it had to be canceled,
yeah,
because of protests. Do it virtually instead. What does that say about the state of where we're at right now?
That was hard. I mean, we always look forward to that. The kids look forward to that. We have a lot of children that show up at that. And something people may not know about our Christmas tree lighting, it's people with developmental disabilities. So vulnerable communities, and we just couldn't risk what was being promoted as a die-in or sit-in or some protest to shut down Christmas. So that was unfortunate. And it is the nature of the moment we're living in. And look, I experienced it firsthand visiting Israel, seeing the images, the atrocities.
Yeah, because it's about
Hamas,
you.
Firsthand, seeing quite literally a video of someone being decapitated, not after they were decapitated, watching the decapitation in real time.
In real time.
At the same time, I'm a parent and I watch children suffering and dying in Gaza. It breaks my heart.
We're talking about the Christmas tree here.
People. So the whole thing is devastating and difficult. The anti-Semitism, this rank, open anti-Semitism, is so.
So you gave in.
So vile.
So you gave in.
At the same time.
So you folded. So
it's a very difficult moment in our history. I'll be seeing the
difficult
president
moment.
Shortly. I'm sure we'll have a long conversation about that, either in private or during our subsequent meeting. But I'm just praying that we get this thing behind us and Hamas is eliminated, both for Israel, but also the Palestinian people themselves.
So whenever
do you think it's time for a ceasefire?
I'm going to leave that. I wish it was that simple.
Yeah.
I want this war to end. I want innocent lives not to be lost. I want Hamas eliminated. I want the hostages home. I want two-state solution, two secure states. I want the Palestinian people to live free. But Hamas must be eliminated.
You're speaking with the president here in.
But he wants to eliminate Hamas. Imagine him as president. He wants to eliminate Hamas, but he won't even stick around to flip the switch on the Christmas tree lights. I have no idea why they couldn't secure that area from Palestinian protesters. I have no idea why. Of course they could. But he disappoints all the kids. He talks about all the vulnerable children, the disabled children, whatever euphemism of the day he was using there. But in the end, he collapsed. He didn't come out and say, look, we're going to enjoy our lives here. We're not going to let, 100, 200 wackos with their fake blood screaming their stupid slogans, having their die-in. The die-in. Hey, guys, let's go all fall on the ground and wave our arms in the air and then die. Okay, all right, that'll stop the war. Good work. You give in to that crowd? I can't stand weak people like him because that's what gives power to these protest groups. Because when the protest groups, like any enemy, any bad guy, they smell weakness, they get more bold. They do more of it. Hey, they can shut down everything, right? In fact, we might not be able to light a Christmas tree anywhere for the next 10 years. If guys like Newsom are in power, because they'll always give in. And then they'll say, well, it's safety concerns. Safety concerns. Why don't you enforce the law, arrest these people, put them away for about a year? There's plenty of laws these people are breaking, like the crowd that shut down the 110 freeway yesterday, huh? Why don't you put those guys away for a year? I'm sure there's all kinds of stuff on the books that you could trump up. Do it. Put them away. Lock them up. And you'll see this crowd go away because they don't want to spend a year in prison. Put them in a maximum security prison, too. Put them on death row. Let them live with the serial killers for a year. They won't be shutting down any more freeways. You just have to be tough enough. And there's plenty of laws broken yesterday. Multiple counts. Now, here's another clip with Hair Gel. Alex Michelson asking about that $68 billion deficit that California is facing. We went from a $100 billion surplus to a $68 billion deficit in 2 years. Let's see what this is about.
What kind of budget deficit are we looking at? And what
it's smaller than it's been advertised, but I've been advertising this. I mean, anyone who's been paying attention to me, all my vetoes, we've known this. And we've known this since we had those crazy surpluses. Remember, last 2 out of 3 years, we had $177.7 billion surplus. That's why we gave $18.5 billion, largest tax rebate in U.S. history. We just finished sending close to $20 billion back to the taxpayers because of this wash of what happened, pandemic. No sense. The surplus made no sense. The deficits made no sense last year. And then the biggest challenge was the delay in tax receipts. And we made that point to the IRS. We were actually arguing against some of those subsequent extensions because we went into the budget last year blind. And I made that point to legislature and others. And that's why so many of the vetoes. And that's why we prepared for this. And you'll see the architecture around this in January.
What? Okay, you say it's not as big as we advertise. What is it then?
Well, I'll tell you in January.
Okay. 10th, we'll get through it.
I just think this is really important. Highest reserves in history, more one-time spending intentionally than any other budgets we've ever done, so we can claw that back a little bit, the one time, or extend it out a year or two.
What?
So difficult choices, but nothing like the old days. because we never had the reserves in the last few recessions that we have now, and we didn't have the financial management that we do now. It's big number, but it's a very different number in the context of how we manage the budget.
Shut up. $100 billion surplus to a $68 billion deficit, and he's bragging about his financial management. You know what he didn't mention? That in the 5 years he's been governor, spending has increased by 50%. It was a $200 billion budget. Now it's more than $300 billion. He increased spending over 50%. Permanent spending every year. Every year they're spending an extra $100 billion compared to what they were spending back in 2018. Right? That was Jerry Brown's last full year, 2018. We were at a $200 billion budget. Now it's $300 billion. And he's bragging about financial management. And he's bragging about all the vetoes. And all the... Get out of here. He is insufferable and shameless.
Ouch!
All right, more coming up. Oh, we come back, we're going to talk with Nathan Hochman, who came out the best in a poll against George Gascon to run for L.A. County District Attorney. The John Cobalt Show. KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Deborah Mark, also live. We're both alive.
Yes, we're both alive. Yes. We haven't taken an exit bag yet.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Now I'd like to introduce you to Meaningful Beauty, the famed skincare brand created by iconic supermodel Cindy Crawford. It's her secret to absolutely gorgeous skin. Meaningful Beauty makes powerful and effective skincare simple, and it's loved by millions of women. It's formulated for all ages and all skin tones and types, and it's designed to work as a complete skincare system, leaving your skin feeling soft, smooth, and nourished. I recommend starting with Cindy's full regimen, which contains all five of her best-selling products, including the amazing Youth Activating Melon Serum. This next generation serum has the power of melon leaf stem cell technology. It's melon leaf stem cells encapsulated for freshness and released onto the skin to support a visible reduction in the appearance of wrinkles. With thousands of glowing five-star reviews, why not give it a try? Subscribe today and you can get the amazing Meaningful Beauty System for just $49.95. That includes our introductory five-piece system, free gifts, free shipping, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. All of that available at MeaningfulBeauty.com.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
On the radio from 1 until 4, and then John Cobalt on demand is the podcast, and you could hear that posted after 4 o'clock. We have new polling from the Remington Research Group. Almost 2,000 likely voters. Who do you want to be the next LA County District Attorney? The election's in March. And don't be alarmed when I tell you this. The top vote getter for the March primary is Gascon at 18%, but that's because he has 9 candidates splitting up the rest, and he's not going to get 50%. So he has to go to a runoff. Second place right now is Nathan Hochman, 12%. He's the top challenger. John Hatami at 8%. And then the list goes on from there in single digits. The key here is, they picked Gascon and Hochman, said, okay, if those two finish as the top two choices in the primary. Who do you want in a general election? 56% for Hochman, 18% for Gascón, 26% undecided. Even if Gascón gets all the undecided voters, he'd still lose by double digits. And what's interesting is Gascón gets 18% in the primary and 18% in the general election. So he doesn't get a single vote from any of his challengers. Nobody jumps into the Gascón camp. 18%, that's his hard ceiling. Unusual. You don't run into that very often. Let's get Nathan Hochman on since he was the best of the challengers, according to this poll. Nathan, welcome.
Thanks for inviting me, John.
And I should say, as by way of introduction for people unfamiliar, you are a former federal prosecutor, assistant U.S. Attorney General. You're the president of the L.A. City Ethics Commission. You've run for office before, so you've got a well-known name, which obviously helps you in this primary run.
Certainly. That helps. The fact that Steve Cooley, the former three-term L.A. DA, has endorsed me, as well as five L.A. U.S. attorneys. And the fact that we've, you know, been able to raise money. We were actually at $1.1 million, which sets a record for a DA's race, with over 1,200 donors across the whole political divide and geographic divide of L.A. County.
I guess the campaign is going to become much more public after the first of the year when people are paying attention. I imagine you've got much more, be a much bigger media presence, commercials for radio and television. Is that a good guess?
Absolutely. I think part of the focus of any race is to figure out when the voters are most paying attention, and that's when you'll go ahead and activate the funds that you've raised. Part of the advantage of outraising every other challenger by at least double is that I'll be able to get the word out on TV, radio, social media, and hopefully your station, social media and print mail to let them know that I'm running and what I stand for. And it's basically the opposite in many respects of what George Gascón stands for. He's a DA that's enacted the most pro-criminal policies in L.A. County history as a DA. I'm basically someone who puts victims and the public first rather than the interests of criminals.
He has absolutely demoralized his staff, the assistant DAs. And he's demoted anybody who contradicted him. He's been sued by many of them. What are you going to do to get everybody back on the same team, to restore the camaraderie and just restore the morale of the entire staff? Because it's been devastated.
Well, the way you restore morale in large part is that you trust the people below us or below you. When Gascón gets into power in December of 2020, he issues 9 blanket policies. They basically told the over 800 deputy district attorneys, the prosecutors in court every day, that they cannot go ahead and do their job effectively, that they couldn't bring gun and gang enhancements if the evidence called for it, that they couldn't try certain juveniles who committed, you know, huge murder, mass murders as adults, that they couldn't, you know, prosecute certain misdemeanors, even though the evidence called for it. What I would do immediately is restore that trust. Tell the 800 plus deputy district attorneys that, look, you represent thousands of years of collective prosecutorial experience and wisdom, and I'm ready to trust that wisdom. You know, we're going to lead you, but we're going to let you do your job and follow the evidence and follow the law where it will. That same message then goes out to law enforcement. My brother and I are the co-founders of the LA Sheriff's Foundation. We've talked to deputy sheriffs and police all over this county, who, you are right, are completely demoralized because they bring these very good cases to the DA's office only to have Gascón's blanket policies basically negate them. So I bring that same sort of partnership to law enforcement and say, look, folks, I got your back. That I'm someone who will actually, if you do your job and you bring the evidence and the investigation to the DA's office, we'll apply the law. And if it's a righteous case, we're bringing that righteous case. We're going to take politics and a political ideology out of the mix and bring back independence, evidence, and law, which sounds like something that, you know, you would expect a DA to do, but we have, you know, now spent 3 years going away from that, and I would bring it back on day one.
How much of the Gascón revolution are you going to roll back if you got into office?
You'd roll back a good the whole political ideology part, you'd roll that back almost 100%. In other words, to the extent that Gascon has enacted blanket policies that routinely favor criminals over victims. Another example, he has banned all prosecutors from going with victims to parole hearings of their victimizers. So in other words, if a rape victim wants to go to a parole hearing of someone who raped them and is now seeking to get out of their jail term early, in the old days, the DA would accompany, the prosecutor would accompany the victim to explain the case to the parole board. Gascon has forbidden that. I would bring that back on day one. And again, show people in a tangible way that the DA's office is about the public, protecting the public. It's about protecting victims. And we will absolutely ensure every defendant has 100% due process. But we will apply the law. We will apply the evidence. And we'll put the true public safety threats in jail.
There supposedly is 14,000 cases unprosecuted, which is hard to believe. Is that possible? And if that's anywhere close to true, what are you going to do about all that if you take over?
Well, there are two things that are true. One, you have a huge backload of cases that are unprosecuted. And again, these are cases with real victims in them that are just waiting for justice to occur. Plus, you have a huge deficit of hiring in the DA's office because no one quite candidly wants to work for George Gascon. And basically get into a job where immediately you're going to be handcuffed from actually doing the job. So as soon as people, and I'm talking talented lawyers, understand that the LADA's office is open for business again, that we are going to basically reward and accelerate and promote people who want to do their job effectively, you'll bring back the prosecutors. You'll bring back the additional 100 or so prosecutors that are currently funded in positions that for which there are vacancies, and then you'll then be able to tackle the huge backload of cases that having fewer prosecutors there has created. So while it won't be done overnight, you will absolutely be able to go and chip away at that entire number, so that number will become zero, certainly within the first year or two in which I would be in office.
The Nextdoor app is a daily list of local burglaries and all kinds of quality of life crimes that everybody posts. And the running joke in the comments that I see every day is, well, I'd call the police, but what's the point? Gascon's not going to prosecute or Gascon's going to let the guy go. And almost every day, those are the comments I see. You know, the public is demoralized, too. And that's going to be a challenge as well, to believe that, you know, finally, now things are going to change.
It'll be a huge challenge. I mean, those are the three interest groups that a DA has to basically restore confidence about on day one. You've got his own office, the 800 so prosecutors. And by the way, 97.8% of them voted to support George Gascon's recall, which was shocking. Second is law enforcement. You've got to reestablish that partnership, so that law enforcement knows that if they work hard, the DA's office will in turn do its job. And then the public, because it's incredibly dangerous for the public to believe that the law enforcement system is no longer working. That's a situation where very often people will take justice in their own hands because they don't believe that law enforcement or the DA's office will bring justice. And that's something we obviously have to prevent. But we have to prevent it by having the DA and the DA's office do its job again.
All right, Eric, we'll talk again after New Year's because we're going to cover this story the first 2-3 months of the year more than any other. It's the most important thing going on locally, I think, as far as elections are concerned. So good luck, and we'll talk again in January.
Thank you very much, and happy holidays, John.
You too. Nathan Hochman, he is the former federal prosecutor, Assistant U.S. Attorney General, and the leading challenger to take on George Gascon. And again, I gotta insist here so that no one's misled. Hochman, Gascon's at 18%, Hochman 12%, John Hatami 8%, everyone else 6-6-3-1-1. There's probably 40% undecided. I'm just doing this off the top of my head here. Yeah, probably 40%, 45% undecided. So while Hochman has a 4-point lead for second place, it's by no means an overwhelming advantage. There's going to be quite a spirited campaign. Tommy is doing well at 8%.
And I think the big story in this is, just to use Nathan Hochman's name as a placeholder, if he and Gascon were in the top two, Hochman would win 56-18 in the general election. And I suspect most of the rest of these challengers would win by a huge margin as well. So these poll numbers are absolutely devastating to Gascon. I don't think he has a hope. He could survive the primary, but he's going to get destroyed in November. Now, who's going to destroy him? Well, that's what we got the next 3 months to find out. All right. Oh, running behind. John Cobalt Show.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
David Goldstein. We are going to play at 3 o'clock the tribute that channels 2 and 9 KCAL News did to David. He's retiring after 34 years as the premier investigative reporter in Los Angeles, probably the premier investigative reporter in any city at any time in history. Absolutely the best. And we had him on many, many times to promote and play his stories and analyze how he did it. Just a great career. And he's one of the very few guys who does this kind of work. And we're going to have David on next hour. First thing, though, we're going to play the tribute retrospective of his career that ran on television yesterday. I have an animal story.
Really?
Not a normal animal story.
Not like one that Ken normally would.
No. This is not about animals in peril animals in distress. What this is a little more philosophical. The Oxford University Press has published a paper on giving voting rights to animals.
Come on.
Should animals have the right to vote?
How's an animal going to vote?
Well, the proposal, according to this, and his name is Ion Radu Motaraka. And he says one way to do this would to be have human representatives cast votes on behalf of the animals.
But how are we going to know what our animals want to vote on? I mean, I'd love it if my dogs could talk, but unfortunately they can't.
Don't you have a bond with your...
I do. Right, I do. I know certain things, but I wouldn't know what... I wouldn't know that.
You could look into their eyes?
I mean, I guess I could say, do you want Gascon or do you want a Tommy or who do you want?
Well, the thing is, this would be all animals. Monkeys, parrots, anything you'd find in the Amazon rainforest would have a say in the adoption or rejection of laws impacting their environment. So if there was some big policy change on the Amazon forest,
okay,
you'd call all the animals out. Mm-hmm. And
I love animals, but this is ridiculous.
Now, you're often upset, by the way, pigs and cows and chickens are treated, right, on animal farms?
100%.
Well, they would have a say on laws related to their environment as well.
But again, how are they going to have to, it's going to be the humans that are going to have a say, right?
Well,
and so what if the humans, right, there are humans that didn't like the laws we were trying to get so that the chickens weren't smushed in the cages and the pigs had room. And
see, that's why there's a flaw in this, because the guy who owns the pigs or cows is also the guy who's executing the pigs and cows.
That's what I'm saying. So that, okay, hogwash. So,
very good. it says here, candidates in an election might propose laws offering a mandatory minimum food quantity for certain categories of animals. A candidate could promise shelter to various species, and the animals' vote would go to these candidates that has more animal-friendly proposals as part of their platform. But again, you'd have to run through all this to humans. Now, if somebody has, like, I don't know, 1,000 head of cattle on their farm, do they get 1,000 votes?
Yeah, see, this is flawed. You need to have me, right? I can be the spokesperson for the animals, and I will do the voting for them because I know what's best for them.
Do you know there's something called the animal kill clock online?
No.
What's that?
It tracks how many animals are slaughtered every year and turned into food. I look it up online. I just noticed this now at the end of the story. The animal kill clock in the United States. There's billions and billions of animals slaughtered and somebody's counting.
Yeah. And you wonder why I'm a vegan.
Yes, I do.
I know you do. Go look at that clock.
We're at 52,801,044,348,000. Oh, it's up to 51,000. It's just continuing to.
It's 3,000 while you were talking.
Yeah, right. 58,856, 62,372,
65,888. Okay, we get the point, Eric.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Let's stop that. And let's have somebody like me be the voice of the animals. I would vote, and they would like my vote.
Well, you got two votes for your two dogs. We've got David Goldstein. We're going to play. He's going to be on the air with us, and we're also going to play the KCAL News tribute to David Goldstein's career because he's retiring and one of our favorite reporters. That's next. Hey, you've been listening to the John Cobalt Show podcast. You can always hear the show live on KFI AM 640 from 1 to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday. And, of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity, designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. Gainbridge is helping build a better financial future for women. Retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.